Hello, everyone. Welcome again. Really grateful that you would want to spend a few minutes together with me in the Word. Again, we are talking about personal revival, and that's what we're going to be talking about for months, and how we enter into that, and how do we walk in that, and how do we sustain that kind of relationship with the Lord. We can say honestly, not as a statement of pride, but we're walking in the normal expression of the life of Jesus. Because again, revival just means to restore to life. And the most normal life, the most vive life I know of is the life that Jesus lives. And the gospel is very simple. The gospel is our inclusion in the life that Jesus lives and the favor he has with the Father. That's the Christian life. Our being woven into the fabric of his existence because we're in Christ, and therefore he being woven into the fabric of our existence because Christ is in us. Galatians 2:20 being one of the great passages, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's what the King James says. That's accurate. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I thought today that I would take a little sidestep. It's not really a sidestep because it's also a word about revival. Because remember, revival is a person, the life of Jesus. Revival is our experiencing the life of Jesus in fullness, being manifested, revealed in us and through us. And revival is personal. Though there may not be some big event going on out there that we call revival, the gospel says that every one of us can walk in the life that Jesus lives. We can experience that. And that's personal revival. And it's persons who are walking revival that ignite others to start entering into and walking in revival also. But today I want to share something that I wasn't intending to share in this form. I wrote a devotional about it the other day. But I shared this word in a public setting recently. And then I heard someone share it today who had the truth of this had gotten hold of them. And I thought, this is so important for many of us who are walking through really, really tough times. Because walking in revival, personal revival, is always a joyful and powerful experience, but it is so sustaining and beyond sustaining when you and I are walking through situations that are difficult and painful. Think about the things that people are going through that many of us have experienced in the town that I live in through the loss of the life of a young man. As a matter of fact, I'm wearing this hat not just to be goofy, but I'm wearing this hat in honor of a former priest who passed away years ago, Father Ralph Tallier, and his grandson who just went to be with Jesus recently, Caden Tallier, who are huge Buffalo Bill fans. And so I'm going to be wearing this hat for a while during our broadcast in their honor. But people in our city have just gone through a time of great grieving and mourning because of Caden's death. And I think of all the friends that I know, particularly in the Asheville area. There are two churches there that are under my care in Asheville and Black Mountain, North Carolina. And there's just so much suffering and difficulty that they're going through. And so I thought about this verse that I'd spoken of the other day and that I heard reiterated today. And I thought, this is the word for us. And it is a word about revival, but it's very contemporary in terms of people who are going through such hard stuff right now. This is verse 33 of John 16. These things I've spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. There's a place in John chapter 14 where Jesus says, let me just read it to you. That'd be easier in case I get part of it wrong. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's just told them that he's going to go away. And so he says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. If I go to prepare a place for you, he said, in my Father's house are many dwelling places. The word there is not mansion, it's the word abiding place. In my Father's house are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. He was going to a cross, to the cross, to prepare an abiding place for them. And then he explains this. He says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to myself. He's not talking about the second coming. That where I am, there you may be also. The abiding place is Jesus himself. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to the cross. And in my death, burial, and resurrection, I'm going to provide a place for you in me. I'm going to be your abiding place. He says, for I will come to you and I will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We've said yesterday, and probably the day before too, that the heart of the gospel is the two simple words, in Christ. You've been placed into the life of Christ. And so this verse 33 of John 16 says there are two things real about you and I as Christians in this fallen world. One, we live in a world where there's tribulation. So we're in this world, we have tribulation. But he says, in me, you have peace. So we're in him, but we're in him in a world where there's tribulation. And because we're in him, even though in this world we have tribulation because of the fall, because we're in him, we can experience the peace that he has. No matter what we're walking through in terms of trials and tests and tribulation in this fallen world. Now, hear again what he says. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage or be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, Jesus doesn't offer to give us peace. Jesus says you can participate in his peace. There's a difference. It's not something he just hands out to us. It's his peace. He says, in me, you have peace. To know the peace of Christ, the very peace that Jesus walks in, no matter what circumstance or situation you go through, is a game changer. It's the peace of God that guards both your mind and your heart, because it says you're in Christ. That's in Philippians chapter 4. But Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So briefly, I want to just share this with you. And hopefully this is a word of encouragement to you in whatever you might be walking through or what you might be walking through in the days ahead. Because in this world, it's a promise, you're going to have tribulation. That's going to happen if it's not already happening. Jesus said that we can cheer up because he's overcome the world already. Jesus lives in us as one who has already overcome. We've been placed into the life of one who has already overcome the world. Now think about this. The word vicarious is a very important word. It's a word that's been used in the church for 2,000 years. Vicarious means to do something in someone's place and on their behalf. Jesus died on the cross vicariously. In my place, as me, and on my behalf. When Jesus came and clothed himself with humanity in the incarnation, he clothed himself with our humanity. And he was tempted in every way like unto us. And so I know this is a mystery, but it's this vicarious life of Christ. That everything that you've ever been tempted with, and any testing, the temptation to get fearful or angry because there's stuff going on, the circumstantial issues and whatever, testings on the outside, testings on the inside, everything that you've ever been tempted with or might be tempted with or have been tempted with, Jesus was tempted. He was tempted in every way, like unto us, yet without sin, he overcame. Jesus, the Son of Man, the incarnate God, was tempted in every way like us, but without sin. He He's already faced everything you're ever facing or will ever face, and he's overcome. He hasn't sinned in those things. He didn't give in to anger or fear or anxiety or bitterness or resentment or despair or hopelessness, whatever. Or unforgiveness, whatever. In this world, you have tribulation. But be of good cheer, Jesus said, I've overcome the world. Now we've been joined to him, and the one who's overcome everything you're ever going to face gladly shares that life with you now in union with you, so that everything you're walking through, the Christ who lives in you, who's united himself to you, who's woven into the fabric of your existence, has already overcome the sin in it. The situation may not change, but he's already conquered, overcome the sin in that. He's already faced that, and he's overcome. If you will simply put on Christ, we talked about this yesterday, the word put on is the Greek for sink into. Just surrender to the life of the overcomer in you. And then by faith, thank him. And you will find that the one who has overcome will now manifest in you and in your emotions his victory. He will gladly share his overcoming, his victory in you, in that particular area that you're walking through. You can live the life of an overcomer, not because you're trying to overcome, trying to fight to a place of victory. We don't fight for a place of victory. We're in Christ. We fight from his place of victory. He has already overcome. And all we have to do is surrender to that, sink into that, put on Christ, and then thank him for his overcoming life in us in the moment that we're walking through. And you'll discover that he gladly imparts or shares with you his attitude, his disposition, his spirit of overcoming. And you'll get to experience the victory that is the person of Jesus. Victory isn't something that Jesus gives us. It's someone that Jesus is in us. It's an experience that Jesus shares with us. And he's already accomplished it. He's already accomplished it in the life that he lived on earth. And now one with you, the overcoming Christ, shares his overcoming life with you one step at a time. So, we have 1 minute left. I pray that that word makes sense to you. If it doesn't make sense, then when you see this video, then just simply text me or type to me, Facebook message me or whatever, Charles William Jones, Facebook message me a question. I can't guarantee you that I can answer your question in a way that will help completely, but I've walked this out for a lot of years, and so I think there's some things I can share that might can help. Christ said, in him you have peace. See, he's already overcome whatever you're facing. He's already overcome whatever you're facing. And therefore, as you simply sink into him, surrender to him, and by faith thank him for his overcoming life in that moment, you will experience the peace of Jesus, because whatever you're walking through, he has peace about it. Even if it's painful, he'll share and join you in your pain. He'll share with you in your heart sorrow, but he will not go into darkness like anger and bitterness, resentment, all that kind of stuff. He's overcome. He will share with you his peace that passes all understanding. Okay? Well, we'll be back at it tomorrow. God bless you. And my prayer is that you'll understand that Christianity, if you want to understand the heart of Christianity, and I'll talk more about this over the days and weeks to come, it's not about trying to get to someplace. It's starting from someplace. We start from where Christ is. You with me? We start, if you're in Christ, you start from his life, his relationship with the Father, his nearness with God. You start with his overcoming life. You start from victory. Okay? Well, God bless. Have a great rest of the day.